the reality of the scripture is the local church. Before I proceed further, I will counsel that as many of us as our pastors, and even those who are supportive ministers, should get this series that we have done over some years. The first is the church and the local church. Make sure you listen to it this year. The church and the local church. And then, why you must be in a local church and be committed there. Those two series, get them and listen to them. Many times when I write on the social media, I am very restricted because firstly, the avenue has a mixed multitude of people. Then there's very little you can communicate. So I do more in such series of teaching. I think the one on the local church was in 2009. Right? Okay. Then why you must be committed to a local church was 2012. Is it 2012? Huh? 2012. Then church and local church was 2009. Okay. Important teachings. Because if I talk about the church now, I'm just going to zero in on one particular aspect. It can't be as elaborate as what had been done earlier. So I'm going to counsel you. If you're a pastor, you're about to be a pastor, even if you are not, but you serve in the local church, take that serious and listen to it very well. We treated several things in there, including church discipline, offices in the local church, kinds of meetings. Several things were explained in there. And you lay your hands on it. Is that clear? Alright. So we want to look at the church and the role of the Holy Spirit. Now, I wish I had another title, but I remember, and what has inspired this is something Kenneth Hagin. There are two statements Kenneth Hagin made that, for me, amongst many others, are highly important comments. Now, why am I quoting Brother Hagin? I'm quoting Brother Hagin because Brother Hagin was in the ministry for about 70 years. That's quite some time. And he lived a life of integrity and honor. Was a man of the Spirit that inspired many of us. I recall one young pastor was saying, he never read Brother Hagin. He said, but you read me. If you read me, then you have read Brother Hagin. Because Brother Hagin taught me. So that's how it sounds. And there are two statements he made that helped me as a younger minister, and as I'm growing up, it informs quite a number of things that we do. He said that if the local churches were doing their job, there would have been no reason for Rema Bible Training Center. I kind of found that statement heavy, because Rema Bible Training Center is a major part of his ministry. In other words, the local church, just like we found in the book of Acts and as taught in the epistles, ought to be the Bible school. In other words, if I'm looking, I remember one time I was talking to Pastor Chris Okoti, I think it was year 2000 or so, 2001, and I asked him, how come you don't do ministers training? You know, then he said, he believes that if you come for his services and listen to the word, that that's all the minister's training that you need. Now, I'm not going to necessarily rely on what he said, but that gave me a thought that's true. What should a minister require that every minister should not feed on? After all, 1st and 2nd Timothy was not put as classified in the Bible. It's open to all of us. Am I making any sense here? So all believers, as a Christian, you don't get to 1st and 2nd Timothy and skip it. You read it, you study it. In other words, if those are the two books that Paul wrote and Titus for ministers, and we all read that, that already shows you that those who put the scriptures together believe that all Christians should feed on the same material. Is that very clear? So the local church should not be any other. We're going to look at a couple of things as we study, and I'm going to be as practical as possible, you know, for you. Let me say this. As a young minister, knowing what is wrong is not as important as knowing what is right and doing it. Sometimes we have seen over the years people do exactly what they criticized. They'll do exactly what they criticized. And that's why until you are well founded, grounded, and with enough experience, don't take on the role of trying to address issues in the body of Christ. Sometimes you are too young. You've not seen anything. Your convictions are not even formed. Just look at your life. In the last 2 years, you have changed your convictions like 20 times. So first of all, go and deal with that. You have more to deal with than the people you are looking at. And that's important. So you understand what the local church is. So even though the church should not be for this, the church should not be for that, but they don't know exactly what the church should be for. Hallelujah. I remember this, by the way, a fellow was asking me that he read something I wrote, that a believer backsliding. He said, "Sir, are you saying that we can lose our salvation?" I said, "Why are you afraid of that? Are you doing anything that will make you lose it?" He said, "No, sir, I'm just worried." Worried about what? He said, "Backsliding. Can believers backslide?" I said, "Have you seen believers live immoral lives?" He said, "Yes." "You have seen them. You have seen believers live careless lives." He said, "Yes." "What else is backsliding?" He said, "Backsliding is going back to the world." I said, "Is that not the world?" He said, "Yes, but does it mean they have lost their salvation?" He said, "I said, did I ever say that?" He said, "No, you didn't. I'm just wondering whether you will say it." You're only afraid of what you think you are doing. All right, so you must know what the local church is. You know, for a while, the issue of campus fellowship or fellowship has made some feel that there's something called church different from fellowship. So by the time you study that teaching, if you are a campus pastor or a house fellowship pastor, you will know how responsible you ought to be. Is that clear? So when we look at I meant one statement Brother Hagin said, that we, in other words, the church should be a study center where people study the Word of God together. The second comment he made was that, he said, "Should I tell you what God wants to do in the last days?" He said, one, he wants us to have and build strong local churches. And that is why, you see, some people assumed that I wasn't for all these WhatsApp groups, BlackBerry groups. I once belonged to one. In 2010, I think, or 11, And 90% of those who are in that group were Calvinists. You know, Calvinists are those who believe in the doctrine of sovereignty, election, but not biblically. You know, and but they're Christians, great people. And so someone just invited me, so I joined. Now I observed a basic rule of Christian gathering was missing. And that basic rule of Christian gathering is somebody has to be in charge that we all are accountable to. Is accountable for us. It's a basic rule of Christian gathering. When Jesus left the world, he handed over his disciples to the apostles. He didn't hand over his disciples to the Holy Spirit. Are you listening to me? And as you follow the book of Acts, you will see that the pattern continued. Everybody had people they were under who had control. Are you following what I'm saying here? Am I making sense? Okay. So I said that was missing, but I didn't observe it initially. But what I just noticed was that there were people who were disenchanted with their churches. We didn't know who they, you wouldn't know who they were, but everybody seemed to have something to say and criticize. So someone would say, and they were mentioning names of men of God and preachers of the gospel. Now watch this. I'm a strong advocate of discernment, of speaking the truth of God's word, irrespective of whose ox is God. But I am not an advocate of unruly Christian speaking. No. Neither am I an advocate of disrespectful speaking. I am not. Or speaking without control. Neither am I an advocate of someone who is not a good example himself and speaking against something. Are you following what I'm saying here? And that is why none of our leaders or committed church workers will be found anywhere in the social media writing things. It's very simple. They know. Now this doesn't apply to anybody. This applies to the people I'm referring to. You know, they know. You have much to deal with. And very much to deal with. We're getting engaged in the body of Christ today, helping ministries to train their ministers, helping ministries to put together their books. And all of those times, I'm not the one that handles them. It's the people in our church. In other words, they know what to write. But they are under proper accountability, which is important. It's not for lack of knowing what to say. It's for the presence of order in their lives. The minute you remove order in a man's life, you will not know whether he's serving God or himself. Am I making any sense here? So, I was in that group. It started out well. We began to exchange thoughts on salvation and all that. There'll be some times things will just go horrible. And it went on. But I just discovered that it appeared that the people in this group were quite a number. They were very, very uncouth. So I asked the person who put it up. I said, Egbon? I said, do you know these people? He said, no. Ah. You don't know them? You don't know where they live? No. You don't know who they are? You know, where we met on Facebook and they're great people. I said, ow. And you put up something that they are already utilizing like a local church. I said, no, sir. This is wrong. I recall a brother who is a pastor now, is a leader in Rema Bible Training Center, but he used to be in the church I pastored in about 1998. He made a statement that I can't forget. No, you discover a lot. I quote people a lot. Do you know why? Because I listen and I learn from what people say. He said, now there was someone who was trying to convince another person to leave the ministry. So, let me cut the long story short. But he made a statement. He said, he mentioned the person's name. He said, if you are not ready to pastor this person, no matter what it is, don't remove him from where he's being pastored. If you are not ready to be responsible for his life, I kind of found that very wise. If you are not ready to take care of someone, don't go and condemn where he is being cared for. Am I making sense here? You are not ready. You just want to talk. No. So I told the brother, I said, "Well, this group, I'm uncomfortable. There has to be order. There has to be someone who is responsible to regulate what we preach. Because the role of the local church is to also be a check on the kinds of doctrinal infiltrations among believers." She said, okay. He led the matter on. He tried to dodge what I said. So one major issue came up. And that was the issue of speaking in tongues. I knew that was the bull in the China shop. So the issues came up. And I had, over the matter, about 39 speaking against tongues. And I was the only one speaking for it. At the end of the day, it was that discussion that crashed that group. They could not accept the scriptures that they were fighting for. I took them one by one. The issue of tongues. Wake me from the dream. I will explain it. It's not difficult. We did a material on charismatic ministry in 2013 in this conference. And one major theologian said he had never in his life seen a defense like that. That we took everything they built their anti-charismatic gifts, we took it to the cleaners. Just like someone wrote me 2 days ago, he said, in faith and material prosperity, he said, you buried the gospel of materialism. He said, you buried it. He said, and it will never rest in peace. I kind of like that comment. Praise the Lord. So when I saw that in that group, I told myself, there's something wrong. In fact, it was a year after. Where's Samayo? Remember that you guys started a BlackBerry group to study the Word of God. I said, who will be in charge? They could not answer that question. I said, who will be the pastor? Who will be in? They said, we just believers, we just want to. It's trouble. Anything that has more than one head is a monster. You are heading for trouble. Somebody has to be in charge. And not just in charge. They have to be accountable to him or her. And not just that, he must be responsible for them. So, and let me say this. I will respect a pastor who is ignorant far above a knowledgeable believer who has no local church. In fact, I will question his knowledge. That's why when I see people writing on social media, I ask questions. Neil, I'm not stupid. I go to your profile. I go to your profile. If I see that you don't use your pictures, I will delete you. Use your pictures. Yes. Some things, I won't even read you again. If I say you put a date of birth, 1900, you are not even ashamed of lying. How can you as a preacher, if you don't want to put, don't put date of birth, why put 1900? You see somebody that is like a rat, say 1960. A boy that is still in a pre-degree, his magic number is still in pencil. So I told them, I said, if there's nobody that will be in charge, close it down. Some of the people in that group, are they here today? Eh? Some have gone into the world not to preach the gospel. You can only know your own intentions. You don't know the intentions of every other person. You know it's your heart, you know. Are you aware of that? Two people can say the same thing, the same words, and they mean two different things in their hearts. Anything that has no control is not by the Spirit of God. You should know that by now. So why? In fact, recently I was invited to come and share on one WhatsApp group. It says, I'll come and teach on. I said, don't bother. It said, come and preach. I said, don't worry. I said, I don't do blogs. Blogs. Bible study in the local church is not a discussion group. It's not a discussion group. Can you show me somewhere in the book of Acts where they were discussing Bible and everybody was airing his opinion? Show me one place that you know. You think it's tutorials? Just show me one. If you have one place, I will drop this microphone and you preach. So I said, sir, there's no need for me coming here. How can I come to a place where I don't know those who are there? Except I'm on air. It's when you're on air, you don't know who is listening. I said, too. To the glory of God, we have many teachings on the internet. If it's what I teach, you want to believe, you want to see, go and take them. Whatever you like, do it. Put it on your group. Say, abuse it. But don't let me be there. There are some things you should not witness, at least on this side of heaven. What's our group? It's no man's land. I said, what are you doing there? I said, I just want to share the word. Hey, you have shared it now. Maybe you have seen the word. Never participate in disorder. Never. Are you there? Never participate in disorder. Understand the place of control. So the local church is a place where people come together and they have a pastor who is in charge. They have a set of elders, leaders who are responsible for the flock. Don't mind all these rantings people try to, somebody say, I get blessed by WhatsApp group, it's social media that helped me and all that. I remember one day, myself and Pastor Sekou Abodun, I think it was in 2008, we were having a discussion, and we, 2003. So we're talking about the local church, and we looked at our generation, and we said, how did we have this disrespect for the local church? What made us have this disrespect? So we tracked it in that series on Church and Local Church. I mentioned this story. It's in that that generation was such that many people who helped us were itinerant teachers. So we assumed that was the model ministry. I, for one, I ran away from pastoring for years. I never believed I could pastor. Something in my mind was biased because of how I received Bible truth. I felt that the The contingencies, or better still, the permissive was the ideal. So you've got to be careful. You've got to be careful. Not to make submissions based on your own experiences. You can have your experience and it's different from the submission in the scriptures. Do you understand what I'm saying? Different. So don't mind people trying to argue, I was blessed by it. It is the same approach. People trying to use experiences, contingencies, permissiveness. That is the same reasons why people become heretics. The word of God is very clear. If we are sticking to the written word, let's stick to it. If we are not, let's abandon it. You cannot disrespect the local church in spite of its imperfections all over the world. There is no single church that has no area of their lives where they have been perfected, including the church I pastor. We're growing. We're getting better. We're making our mistakes. We're learning. We're unlearning. That should never be a reason to disrespect God's idea and God's wisdom. Am I making sense here? So the local church is a people specific. In scripture, it's for people in a particular geographical area who have leaders and so on and so forth. But that's not my teaching today. We'll look at the role of the Holy Spirit. Because these days, if we're not careful, we have organized out the Spirit of God in the bid to have structure, to have a semblance of organization. We have forgotten what came about that is referred to as a local church. I had a sermon I preached some years back. First of all, I preached it in the year 1996, then 1990s, then 1998. And I called the title, Let Us Go Back Home. And what I was referring to was this, that the church in the book of Acts started on a supernatural note. That the first witness of the church in the earth in the book of Acts was the demonstrations of the Spirit. That it suffices to say that the demonstrations of the Spirit should be the hallmarks of a local church. The demonstrations of the Spirit should not be special events. And so we're going to see that. So as a pastor, you don't have a role outside building people into maturity in Christ so that what you are preaching reflects in their character and their conduct, and also they are being filled with the Holy Ghost. Spirit-filled believers, irrespective of career, irrespective of social status, you were not called by God to improve people's social status. Let me warn you. In the name of meeting people's needs, helping, you are not called by God to help people discover their talents or teach them how to use their skills. You don't have scripture for it. You are just on your own personal foray. There's nothing wrong in once in a while telling believers, you know, you guys get education and all that. You know, that's good. But never think it's your role. You don't have scriptures for it. Hallelujah. I was engaged with a brother who was trying to say, well, what about what Paul said in Ephesians 4:28? I said, what's Ephesians 4:28? He said, let him walk with his hands, that which is good, that he may have to give him that is need. I said, was Paul teaching entrepreneurship? He said, but what does it mean? But to have to that he will walk to have. I said, there's something wrong in the way you read your Bible. That text of scripture had nothing to do with materialism or entrepreneurship. It was a text of scripture that Paul wrote to correct dishonesty It was about conduct. But when you have an eye for something, you make the scripture sound the way you want it to sound. And that's dishonest. It was such a shame because that brother is always talking about people interpreting scriptures correctly. I said, when it got to your own tongue, your personal ideas, you broke the rule. When he's young, he will learn. Now watch this now. So, you must know your role. Your role is irrespective of people's social status. They are filled with the Spirit. They are growing in maturity in Christ. And they are fulfilling the work of the ministry. That's important. Straightforward. Now see this. As a pastor, please follow this. You have a duty to allow the ministry of the Spirit in the local church. You have a responsibility. The very first church program or meeting that we can point to in Acts 2:1-4 was that they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Very, very important. Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 1, said, when I came to you, I came not in the excess of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in much weakness and trembling. Verse 4 says, and my speech and preaching was not in the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men. Verse 5, but in the power of God. Paul realized that the ministry of the gospel to found a local church is based on the workings of the Spirit. And he made that submission so strong in 1 Corinthians 2. In fact, if you read 1 Corinthians 1 and 2 and down to chapter 4, he made a mincemeat of the wisdom of this world. Philosophies, men's ideas, organization, structure. He made a mess of it. He made it look as vain as you can imagine. Up to chapter 7. You can lay your hands on this teaching. Wisdom in the wisdom of God. Hallelujah. So, what does it mean? Now, quickly, let's lay some good foundation. A fundamental truth is that the legal member of the body of Christ becomes a member by the work of the Spirit. He believes the gospel by the convincing of the Spirit. John 16, verse 7 to 9. He's born of the Spirit of God. John 3, 3 to 5 to 8. He has received from the rivers of living water. John 7, verse 37 to 39. So, the work of the Spirit is fundamental in the life of the believer. In Galatians chapter 3, Paul says, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect in the flesh? So the work of the Spirit is not an addition, is not an add-on, an extra. No, that is the work of the ministry. That's important. In 1 Corinthians 12:13, he said, by one Spirit you are all been baptized into one body and been made to drink into one Spirit. So that's important. So that brother in your church, in your fellowship, in your group, is access to the body of Christ is the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 2:18. It says, by one Spirit we all have access to the Father. So the work of the Spirit is not a secondary work. The work of the Spirit is the work itself. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. The work of the Spirit is the work of the ministry itself. So, before I go further, the first thing as a pastor, a local church pastor, learn about the Spirit of God. Learn about the leading of the Spirit. Learn about the workings of the Spirit. Understand it. You must learn. You must know it. So, the first duty you have is to practice and walk in the reality. 1 Timothy 4:16, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine, that in doing this, you will save you and those who hear you. Acts 20, verse 28. Take it to yourselves and to the flock, for which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, that you feed the church of God, which he purchased with the blood of his own. Like I said to a few nights ago, nobody gets healed by giving another one the medicine. You must use the medicine yourself. If you take food, if I prepare food for you, and you eat the food, except by magic, it won't end up in my stomach. Even the kind of magic will be very strong. So, the first person that should understand the things of the Spirit is not your church member. It is you. We should be careful not to be reduced to signboards. We are telling people what we don't enjoy. We are telling people what we don't walk in. Are you listening to me? I said, are you listening to me? You must practice it. You must practice it in your life. You must practice, like we taught earlier in the morning, you must practice the leading of the Spirit in your life. You want to get married, in your business. When I said not being led by the Spirit is expensive, I'm talking from my personal experience. I have suffered from being stupid and sentimental. It helps nobody. Obedience to the voice of the Spirit of God, it prevents a whole lot of disaster. It may not look attractive, but it's protective. So don't forget that. Now listen very well. The first thing as a pastor is important. Hear this very well. Is to realize that the local church is put together by the Holy Spirit. Your church, except it's an organization from somewhere else, is the work of the Holy Spirit. That's why the writer of the book of Acts, Luke, kept saying the Lord added to the church. He's not saying that people were not doing evangelism. They were doing evangelism. But he could recognize the work of the Holy Spirit. Never think the growth of your church is your skill or your acumen, except you are running a personal organization. That is why you must never be... Somebody was telling me, said, sir, I don't know what is happening in our church. I said, I don't get it. He said, we pray, we teach, we go for evangelism, we do everything, but the number is not increasing. I said, do you want to go and drag them in? I said, allow the Holy Ghost to do his work. When you preach the gospel, that's your work. To believe is a person's work, is a person's responsibility. And how that happens is the work of the Holy Ghost. Did you hear what I just said? Never forget it. The day you forget this, you will join all these church growth seeker sensitive, seeker friendly techniques, or I call them technicians. You'll be so particular about what's going to happen next Sunday now. What can we do this year? Let's plan next ministry year. What are we not doing right? Send out, you send out, what do you call this? Questionnaires. Please fill it. What do you like about our church? The venue. What do you want us to improve upon? Shutting the sermon. What don't you like at all? The prayer meeting. I know that. What if they say what they don't like is the Holy Spirit? You say, thank you. We'll work on it. I'm asking you. What in the world are we doing sending out questionnaires for people to tell us what they want? So what area should we improve upon? Music. So the music is too old-fashioned. The brother told us in the Badon, and I was pastoring there, he said the music is good. He said it's spirit-filled. I can see it. It touches the heart. He said, but sir, that should not be everything. He said, I want songs that will sing. He said it in the open church, that I can remove my shirt. I said, you'll have to do that when we finish service. That I can manifest. Are you there? So realize that the local church is the work of the Holy Spirit. Don't get in the way. Do your own part. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Go into all the world and teach all nations. Just do your work. And let the Holy Spirit do His work. Let Him work on people's hearts. Let Him bring them up in the knowledge of the Son of God. Hallelujah. Why do you think God gave gifts unto men? Pastoring is a supernatural ability. I hope you know that. It's a gift of God. He gave pastors and teachers. Ephesians 4:11. They are supernatural. So you must allow the work of the Spirit. Never forget that. I like something Pastor Chris Oyakhilome said years ago. He said, what is the local church? He said, the local church is an orchestration of the Holy Ghost. I agree. The Holy Ghost orchestrating things is bringing us together. Many of us who are in the different churches, we attend, could never have come together in the natural. Have you realized that before? If you look at your backgrounds, you could never have come together. What could have brought you together? That is supernatural. The work of the Holy Spirit. Do your part. Be aggressive in preaching, in teaching, in discipleship, but do not do the job and the work of the Spirit of God. Don't turn yourself into commander-in-chief. There's the place of the Holy Spirit. Allow. And quickly, let me go into details of that. As a pastor, there are some sermons, there are some teachings that are compulsory courses. They are important. They must be emphasized. If you don't know it now, there's a problem. As a pastor, you must teach your people regularly how to recognize God's voice. You must teach them how to be led by the Spirit of God. Don't assume they know it. You must. The absence of this will be that they will depend on you. And that is not the will of God for their lives. Teach people how to recognize the inward witness. Teach them how to receive visions and revelations. Teach them. And how would you do this? Listen carefully to what I'm going to say. Let me go over what I said again. Teach your members the leading of the Spirit. And that will be done sufficiently when you honor the written word. Any church where they don't honor the written word, they cannot teach the leading of the Spirit. Because the written word is the primary leading of the Spirit. The only thing about it is, it's very general and specific as well. But when you now begin to go into the specifics of our different lives, then it starts getting personal. And the leading of the Spirit in the personal life is still found in the written word. So you must teach your local church to honor the written word. Hear this. Let your members know that they should honor the written word above you. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? Very good. They should honor the written word above you. Teach them the inward witness. How to know the promptings of the Spirit. The absence of this will be that they will be dependent on you. You know, I was preached in a church some years back, and the pastor said he didn't like what I taught. I said, why? He said, if you teach believers all these things, why then do they need to come to church? I couldn't wrap my hands head around what he was trying to say. He said, you are teaching them all these things, that they have it in Christ, they have it in Christ, they have it in Christ. What is my own role then? He wanted people to be dependent on him. Was it 94 or 5? I went to preach somewhere and I didn't know the trouble I was looking for. I said, we'll create room in the afternoon for counseling. I did not know that I had just walked in the flesh. I thought that counseling would be 3 people will come. I think the whole church came. The pastor's wife came. I said, in my life, I won't make this mistake again. They all stayed. I said, ha! And they now brought one miserable Orobo. What's this one? Pepsi. So I can cool myself as I'm doing. And I was still going to preach in the evening. As I thought they were over, I looked at them and said, they are Stephen, sir. Bless you, sir. I hope you are not tired. I said, I am not. I'm talking to people this long, and you are asking me whether I am tired. No, I'm not tired. I'm he that keepeth Israel, that never slumbers no sleep. Even the one that keepeth Israel, when he came here, he slumbered and he slept. I told myself, never again will I in my life say, if you have counseling, come. Everybody came. If you teach people well and they listen well, they won't call you for counsel. That's why you should spend your time, spend the services explaining. Those who come for counseling, most of the time, not all of the time, are those who were not paying attention when you were teaching. Someone told me, he said, why is it that every time I come to ask you a question, you refer me to a teaching? I said, what did you want me to say? Oftentimes, you won't have a question again. So people like that, Pastor, can I travel? No, stay. Pastor, there are four brothers. That's the usual one. Which one should I take? I said, separate them into years. Stupid person. Pastor, can I use the toilet? I'll use it for you. Don't bleed members like that. That's not the job. That's not the will of God. Let people study the written word. Let them recognize the leading of the Spirit. Teach them. Teach them the inward witness. Teach them the revelation gifts. Let the average member of your church know how to function and receive the word of knowledge. Know how to function and receive the sending of spirit. Know how to function and receive the word of wisdom. Function in and receive the word of wisdom, sorry. Teach it. Explain it. Talk about it. If Jesus did not teach his disciples, they would never have had the results we saw in the book of Acts. Teach it. Explain it. If the apostles' doctrine did not include revelation gifts, Ananias would not have known what to do in Acts 9. Teach it. Explain it. Don't mystify spiritual things. Demystify them. Let it be commonplace. Is someone hearing what I'm saying? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Don't make people dependent on you. And like E.W. Kenyon would say, they become habitual spiritual cripples. There are so many Christians in the spiritual nursery. And that's why the feeding bottles are not going around. No, nobody came to visit me. After 6 years in the Lord, nobody came to visit me. Nobody even know what I'm going through. We are all going through something. Nobody know what I'm going through. I'm going through so much, and nobody called me from church. Give us the feeding bottle. Let's give the new converts. After 2 years in Christ, you want us to visit you. To do what? You have missed your time of visitation. Feeding bottle Christian. So why are you not in service yesterday? Nothing. It's personal. You think... Ah! 2 years in Christianity. They are not visiting you. Do you know, sir, that something happened in my family? Nobody in this church... Nobody in this church even came to check me. For what? Nonsense. Hallelujah. Too many babies. If someone comes to you as a pastor, sir, what do I do? Tell him, go and pray about it. Abi? Go and pray about it. Two reasons. Number one, because it is scriptural. Number two, so that they won't blame you. Someone say, why is there every time I ask you something? Say, follow your heart. Don't you have one? Follow it now. I said, but I thought you know what God is saying. I said, if I ask you what God is telling me, can you tell me? No. So we are both trying to know. It's true. You just say, pray about it. So I prayed. I've not heard anything. Keep praying. You will hear. Hallelujah. Teach people well to be led by the Spirit of God. Teach them the inward witness, the revelation gift. Are you there? also teach people how to flow with the Spirit. To flow in the gifts of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:1. Now, concerning things of the Spirit, Paul said, I would not have you ignorant. In verse 39, Paul says, do not forbid to speak with tongues. Covet to prophesy. You must teach people to flow with the things of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:31. Covet earnestly the best gifts. 1 Corinthians 14:1. Desire spiritual things. You must teach people very well how to flow with the Spirit. Don't assume. Listen carefully. Don't just do experience seminar. Mm-mm. Explain it. Teach it. Explain it. One thing I'm always grateful for in the earlier years, in listening to Frederick Price, Dr. Frederick Price, is the patience that he brought into some of us, our lives, in explaining scriptural truths. The man can teach one truth for 1 year. And he's not in a hurry. When I asked Chris Okoto years ago, I said, you teach 15, 20 minutes, but he can do 200 sessions over his title. He said, I'm their pastor. Where are they running to? And that gave me some thought. That is true. Because as a younger preacher, everything I want to tell you today, I said, wait, one more. Do you think they will rapture? Calm down. Line upon line, precept upon precept. Praise the Lord. Alright, so you teach people to flow with the Spirit. To flow with the Holy Ghost. Very vital. Hear this very well. And as you do this, in explaining, you see, let me add this. The pastor must always keep learning. Sometimes, it's not just the information. Sometimes you are learning the explanation. Am I making sense here? Not just the information. You even need to learn the explanation. Doctrine is not just information. Doctrine is also explanation. As a pastor, you must hold meetings where the Holy Spirit is giving free course. Regular meetings. Where the Holy Spirit, that is, don't forget the foundation. The foundation is you must first of all teach it. Then you will now give room for what you have taught to be practiced. If they don't practice it in the church, don't expect them to practice it outside church. Explain it. Let there be a demonstration in the services. And don't do this thing that we usually do in charismatic churches, where what we call Holy Ghost meeting is for everybody to come and see how anointed the pastor is. No. The pastor sets the tone for us, and then we follow the example. That is how we can all learn and do it after the meetings. Are you following what I'm saying here? Don't build the church around yourself. In 1994, the Lord Jesus showed me an appearance. I will never forget it. I share it every year. And I saw a dome built with millions of people. It was a small dome, but you know, in visions, you will have what you call seeing and knowing. And I saw someone in the middle of that dome. He covered the pulpit just like this. And I go, who is this? I was asking and probing. Then he lifted up his face and I saw the Lord Jesus. And he said, build your ministry, build your message, build the church around me. Every time I recall that vision, it gives me a sense of awe. Don't build it around yourself. Any pastor who is teaching and spending time to teach He's doing so so that he's not building things around himself. Pastors that don't teach, listen to me, are oftentimes building the churches around themselves. Teach, explain it. Let people know it. When you keep people in ignorance, is to keep them in bondage. Let them know it. Hallelujah. Are you there? Let there be meetings where the things of the Spirit are in demonstration. Let me add this. Write this in capital letter. God help you to remember this in 20 years. What should matter in your church? Listen to me. Should be Spirit-filled living. What should matter should not be people's positions, what they do in the world, their age, their societal influence. What should matter in your church should be Spirit-filled living, not people's bank accounts. Are you following what I'm saying here? In Acts 6, when there was an issue in the church about distribution of food to the widows, the Bible says in verse 2, the apostle said, we will not leave the word of God and serve tables. Choose from amongst yourselves 7 men, and this is very important. So take 7 men who have honest reports, full of the Holy Ghost and of wisdom, that we may appoint over this business. Imagine, they were going to pick out people that would do natural things, and what they were looking out for was how full of the Holy Ghost they were. They didn't say, well, let's look for men who know this area. Is anybody here with financial, you are into financial banking, investment banking, financial services, we need people like that in the church? That was secondary. Is it filled with the Spirit? Does he have the good report of a believer? Is he filled with the wisdom of God, the word of God? Then put him over the business in the church. Let that be the hallmark of recognition in the local church. The minute you begin, listen carefully, the minute you begin to rate people outside this, the ministry of the Spirit in your church will dwindle. It will dwindle. I'm coming to something shortly, but I mentioned it ahead of time. The church is not a talent show. The church is the work of the Spirit. Follow this now. Have Holy Ghost meetings. Meetings where people come together. So often. In 1 Corinthians 14, Paul says, when you come together and every one of you, verse 26, says that, he says he has a sound. He has a revelation. He has a doctrine. He has interpretation. He has a tongue. Let all things be done unto edifying. Let such things be prominent in your church. Let not the things of the Spirit be special events. Let them be regular things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One of the ways to teach people about the ministry of the Spirit also, in fact, the primary way, write this down, is vital, is to let them engage in evangelism. Evangelism is a primary work of the Holy Ghost on the earth. As people are engaged in evangelism, they get to partner with the Holy Ghost the more in their service and the work of the ministry. Recognize something, and I must mention this, because we're in a developed age, and everything is bling, 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 bling. You know, there are some people that cannot sit where you are sitting. to attend the service. Say, ah. Someone told me, said, I like to be very comfortable in the church. Spread my leg. I don't like anybody breathing around me anyhow. I said, look for another church. Bling, bling. Things are just shining. Bah, bah. You see, are we in Hollywood? You know, darken the service and put the spotlight on the pastor. So it's good. Michael Jackson. Bling, bling. Recognize Ephesians chapter 2 verse 21. It says we form a habitation of God through the Spirit. What is called the church is the habitation of God through the Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 3:19, Paul says we are the temple of the Holy Ghost, talking about the collective of the believers. That's important. Bling, bling, bling. Every time you find yourself putting pressure on things like, how do we put the auditorium? How does it become compliant to 21st century compliant? You know, oftentimes you are replacing the work of the Spirit with those things. What a trip years ago to some churches in the U.S. and we went around and a group of ministers and fellow Christians. So as we went from church to church, and I'll tell you the truth, some of those churches had outstanding buildings, outstanding facilities. There was even one we went, they had crying room for babies. The babies crying, they take the baby to just to cry. And so they had fitted some gadgets there that would make the baby reduce the crying. Serious matter. There was one they had, you know, you could play snookers. You know, lovely things. Wonderful. So we went from place to place. Some had nightclubs. And so as we were going from place to place, some believers said, yes! When we get back to Nigeria, we'll tell our pastor, this is it! I said, what's wrong with you? One of them that did not know I used to talk, he heard my voice for the first time. What's wrong with all of you? What's wrong with you? Do you know why they are doing this? They've lost the power of God. This is not the America or the voice of any revival. This is not the America. This is the America of bling bling. We now ask one of the church staff, say, why are you doing nightclub? So, you know, many folks do not want to have the name of Jesus like that. So what we do is we just ask them to come from nightclub and then we dance and stuff like that. And after 1 or 2 weeks, you know, when I begin to tell them just gently about the love of God and then love God, I said, what if they die before you tell them? About the love of God. And then after a while, but we don't get pushy about it, so they don't go away. We don't get pushy about it. We just tell them God and they say, is this the person that will teach you the gospel? Does this one know what he's talking about? Fella says, teacher, no teaching me nonsense. This one is talking nonsense. I said, we don't have that problem. We are not under persecution. If people are not yielding, we go on our knees. Hallelujah. Grant unto the servant all boldness, we might speak your word, that signs and wonders might be done through the name of the Holy Child Jesus. Hallelujah. Pray for us that the word of God will run a free course and be glorified even as it is with you, that we may be delivered from reason and wickedness, that all men have no faith. Pray for us that the door of utterance may be opened unto us. Hallelujah. So you are creating the door of utterance by yourself. Pray. Welcome. That's the door of utterance. You're welcome. Welcome to church. That's the door of utterance. Welcome to church. You're welcome. We celebrate you. There's no church without you. What's the meaning of that? There's church without you. If you're not born again, church is without you. Is it true? Is it not true? You're welcome. You're welcome. Say, red carpet. I went for one program, the guy. I'm from the airport. Say, I'm security man. Recently. Wait. Because I thought this guy is, he's hard. He's lovely. So I just told him, I said 11 years ago, I went to a nation in Africa. He's the president's presidential guard that took me. In fact, it was from the airport as I got in the plane. He just said, stop, everybody, sit down. You know African nations. Advocate is a lawyer. So, the people in first class, sat down. Say, come. Very unruly. They brought the presidential convoy to the tarmac, I mean to the plane. We came down. We go inside. As we're going, the son of the president, the chief of general staff, he led. I never seen that kind of thing in my life. As we go, the guy was shooting, pa, for the cars to move. Pa, pa, pa. It was like banger. Pa, 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 pa. When I missed my flight, Bellevue, the guy said, because he didn't speak English, so he was telling my other senior partner, said, Africa missed playing Nigeria. Let's go. Went to Bellevue. The guy was saying, you know, you have to book tomorrow. The guy said, Africa, Nigeria, now. He said, take somebody, drink down, put Africa inside. The guy said, okay, sir. They created his space at the right hand of the Father. Quickly for me. And they are not Christians. So I said, there's nothing you are doing that the world cannot do better. Bling, bling. Hallelujah. Bling, bling. See a pastor dress and I say, are you a pastor? You look like Jay-Z. Hallelujah. Okay. So it's when you don't have the... There's a Chinese that went to America. And they showed him all the nice things. Guy said, beautiful. Beautiful. Great. He said, very good. So many things you have done without the Holy Spirit. Can you show me the ones the Holy Spirit has done? They had nothing. The work of the pastor is to allow the Holy Spirit his place in the lives of believers. Don't replace the move and the things of the Spirit with what we call excellence. Without trying to sound endorsing, but you know the truth is this, particularly in this side of the world, the largest congregations are the least excellent. They are the least. Their music is not fine. But because people believe that power is happening there, they go there. No bling bling. Is it not true? It's true. Some of the people you are trying to please. There was somebody who was telling me that his uncle, the uncle is the chairman of one of Nigeria's banks. That he went to sleep at Ayo Babalola's gravesite 7 days. That's the same person you'll be trying to make the seat comfortable for. You know, have you seen that grave before? There's no AC there. He went to sleep there. Leave that thing. So, recognize the work of the Holy Spirit. In your pastoring, realize that the church is not a business organization. It's not a school. It's not a daycare center. Don't use principles that they use to run companies in the church. Don't do it. And that has happened a lot to many churches today. The church is the house of the Spirit. What did I say? Come on, say it again. Stop using business principles marketing strategies. Hallelujah. You check yourself. The apostle said, we will not leave the word of God to serve tables. Learn that. Also, just like Paul taught, teach the church to pray a lot in tongues. To pray a lot in tongues. Paul says, when we speak in tongues, we edify ourselves by the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 14:4. Teach the church to pray a lot in tongues. A lot in tongues. Not just prayer meeting. Don't let your prayer meetings be dominated by needs. Let your prayer meetings be dominated by fellowship. People just coming to pray in tongues. By fellowship. Look at 1 Corinthians 11. Let's check that. Let me add this quickly. You can't solve all the problems in your members' lives. That's not what you were called to do. You can't be their mechanic, their doctor, housemaid, therapist. You can't do all that. Face your work. Let them go to places where those things can be done. I'm a businessman of a few years myself. When I hear some pastors teach business, it's just ridiculous. There's no serious businessman that will say he learned business in church. Maybe it's people that sell granite. There's no serious businessman. Stop fooling yourselves. No serious businessman. I saw a fellow who was doing business top-notch something seminar. I asked him. I chatted with him. I said, have you done business before? He said, he's about to start. What were you now teaching? See, the business world does not obey all the things you are saying. It's grammar. The business world is run by the spirit of this world. Spirit of this world. I know by experience. I have wined and dined with some of the top people. It's the spirit. Forget this long story. Six principles, desire. Look at what are you passionate about? Shut up! And do real business. All this grammar you are saying in a church school of business, the pastor that doesn't know anything, his own business is tight. Praise the Lord. Look at 1 Corinthians 11. In verse 17, Paul says, now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. And when you come together in the church, I hear that there be division among you, and I partly believe. Now look at verse 22. Let's read verse 22 together. 1 Corinthians, let's go. What? Have you not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. The key word is, have you not houses? In other words, there are things that are meant for your house. There are things meant for your office. There are things meant for your school. There are things meant for the hospital. There are things meant for the university. Let them stay there. Let's do the things meant for the church. In 1 Timothy 3:15, Paul said, wrote to Timothy that thou mayest know how you ought to behave in the church of the living God, the house of God, the church of the living God, which is the pillar and the ground of truth. Let that dominate your thinking. Jesus chased people away in the four gospels. He said, my Father's house shall be called a house of prayer unto all nations. You cannot turn into a den of thieves. What were they doing there? They were doing an investment seminar. They were buying and selling. He took cords and chased them out. That was the only place they ever said about Jesus that the zeal of the Father's house had consumed him. In other words, he was so passionate about what they were doing in the temple, despite the fact that that temple was going to be destroyed. It was to show us that the house of God is not where... He didn't say it was wrong to buy and sell, but not in the house. That was not why Solomon built that house. That's not why we come to service. The church services must not be used for any other thing but for primarily spiritual activities. Are you following what I'm saying? Allow the Holy Spirit to do His work in the church. Stick to the purpose. The Spirit of God is amongst us. Must give room. When Paul wrote to Timothy, play for me, I close. In 1 Timothy 1:18, he said, prophecies have gone before that you with them wage a good warfare. On two occasions, he referred Timothy back to the things of the Spirit. 1 Timothy 4:14, in the same letter, neglect not the gift which is in you, given thee by prophecy, and the laying on of hands of the elders. He reminded him again in 2 Timothy 1:7, 1:6. Sell the gift of God, which is in you, by the putting on of my hands. Look at one verse of scripture quickly. 2 Timothy 1:14. And I say that to you as a pastor. Never forget this. Your work is the work of the Holy Spirit. What did I say? Say like you heard it. Say my work is the work of the Holy Spirit. And I must learn to yield to the Holy Spirit. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 14. In verse 13, he says, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing, hallelujah, which was committed unto you, keep by the Holy Ghost. Which dwells in us. Keep it by the Holy Ghost. Don't keep it by philosophy. Don't keep it by business ideas. Keep it by the Holy Ghost. Keep your calling. Keep your work. Keep the church. Keep the flock by the Holy Ghost. Acts 20:28. Which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. Feed the church of God, which He purchased with the blood of His own. I commend you to the Word of God. To do the work of a pastor by the Spirit of God. To build a church of men and women, brothers and sisters, full of the Spirit, led by the Spirit, who know how to flow with the Spirit. Let your pastoring be supernatural. Don't let your pastoring be such that you are trying to gauge people's opinion. You are trying to find out what people want and what they don't want. No! Be led by the Spirit of God. Yield to the Spirit of God. Sometimes people want music and the Spirit of God says, emphasize prayer. Sometimes, and that's what the church is. You yield to the Holy Ghost. I know something. At the end of this conference, all of you who are pastors or in pastoral work, you have fresh insights for your pastoral work. In the name of Jesus, you have a fresh insight. You are going back, not the same person. You are going back refired. Supernatural pastor. Supernatural pastor. Where you are pastoring by the Holy Ghost. Not by sense knowledge. Not by gimmicks. You are pastoring by the Holy Ghost. By the gifts of the Spirit. By the leading of the Spirit. You are pastoring by the power of God. You are raising men. Men full of the Spirit. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost.